It might have been a perfect song for this message. So that's pretty cool. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll try to work in a title here somewhere. It's kind of a neat thing happened. I'm about to start a series starting this Sunday. And then during the week, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we're going. I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. And then during working on that series, which we're going to do every Sunday morning for about 3 or 4 Sundays, I got 2 other things that flew in on me. One was, and I used it last night during the devotion at the basketball game. Nobody got saved. I was very surprised. I'm just kidding. We played a tough team last night. But anyway, I thought this was very neat that I used the parable of the sower. And we've always, not the parable of the sower, but the power of wheats and tares. I've never seen this before the whole time I've been studying the scriptures, especially in that area, is when the good seed was sown by God or by the evangelist or the missionary or the man of God. We sow good seed. The good seed is Christ. It's the good news, the gospel, correct? When at night the enemy came, right? And he sowed tares. Tares are, a counterfeit wheat, right? Is that right? Is that correct? Counterfeit wheat? It looks like wheat. It's called a Darnell wheat. It looks like wheat, but it never ends up producing fruit. Make sense? But what the cool thing was, and I'm still working on this, is the enemy snuck in, and the only thing he could do was sow a counterfeit. He could not mess with the wheat. All he could do was put something in there to mess with the harvest and bother the wheat, but it couldn't do anything to it. God, listen, you should just, if you really got a hold of what that was, I was thinking last night when I said it, man, this is the wrong crowd to share this with right now. But if you think about that, golly, if you're wheat, let me say it this way. If you're saved and you got Christ in you, all the enemy can do is put something around you that's counterfeit, that can bother you. He can't change the fact that you're wheat. Man, I'm sitting there yesterday, man, like, I'm going to need to tell somebody about this. This is amazing. And I am going to get to preach where I come from. But then, that was a mind-blowing thing. What was the other one? Oh. That's why you don't come to preach 3 messages all at one time. The other one was Joseph. I know, very off the spectrum. But Joseph, every place that God planted him in his, with his father, Potiphar's house, prison, and with Pharaoh, everywhere he went, he managed it. Think about that. Everywhere he went, he managed it. Mad, upset, hurt, lonely, lied on, cheated on, forsaken, whatever other. But he just looked around and he said, you know what? This needs to be managed. Right? Sheep need to be managed. Potiphar's house definitely needs to be managed. Jailhouse needs to be managed. Whole world needs something to eat. I can manage it. Thank God, never mind. That's the kind of stuff we're working on. But then all throughout the day, I'm like, oh God, that's awesome. You're giving me all these little nuggets here and there. I said, I would like a message for Wednesday. So the message comes from our daily reading today. And then it lines up with what she's saying. What Miss Kimberly's saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, is that where y'all are starting? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Y'all good? Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Ain't that cool? The ministry came with mercy. Your ministry comes from mercy, right? We received the ministry, but we didn't receive a ministry without mercy. We understand also we got it with grace, but praise God, we didn't get this ministry. You're not in this great ministry because of how great you are. It's because God had mercy on you.
So every time you're going out to share the gospel or share Christ or share any part of what God's done in your life, you're sharing it from a place of mercy, not this great place of, I'm so perfect and I'm so great and you're not and you need to get where I'm at. You need to say, I'm exactly where you were at in some fashion or form, lost in my sin, and Jesus gave me mercy, so therefore I have a ministry of mercy. Is that not good? This is Paul writing this. But listen to this. It says, we faint not. Remind yourself, something that starts in mercy, you're going to continuously need that. So guess what? Don't faint when you're looking at the situations that you're ministering to. Don't look at the situation when you fail to do what you think you need to be doing. And don't faint when you, when we use faint, we think, man, we're just going to fall out. No, it's the losing heart. And God, can you write that down somewhere? Don't lose heart. And it's easy to do. Right? I mean, I'm not the only one in here, but sometimes you just go, man, it's overwhelming. I remember I used to work, I got this job one time putting rivets in car seats. There's really nice car seats, apparently, and I really wasn't high on a job because they only paid $7.50 an hour. 10 hours, you were putting 15 rivets in car seats, right? And that's just not my thing, but I needed a job, right? Well, one time I'm out there, and you know, the second night, and I'm like, man, and I'd never emptied a whole bin before, right? So I'm like, and I'm just, you got in the zone, and all of a sudden I got down to like two or three seats left in the thing in my shift, and I thought, yeah! All right, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, here come a fork truck and sit down a whole other bin. I said, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'll be doing rivets till I die, right? That's kind of me. But that's exactly, sometimes you'll think, man, everybody, it looks like everybody's safe. Everybody's on fire. Man, man, we ain't got no more work to do. Then you know, you can wait, right? You're overwhelmed. Don't lose heart in that. Amen? Don't lose heart. Because you receive mercy, they're going to need mercy. Amen? Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Oh, let me read that in context so I can get it. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of truth. A truth. Look at this. I love how this says this. They have he got rid of dishonesty. Listen, it's this truth that was good for him. It was transformative truth. Paul said, look, I used to take the word of God and I used to do some things in dishonesty. I used to handle the word of God dishonestly. That's scary. You can do that. You can take the word of God and almost make it say whatever you want it to say and do whatever you want it to do. But guess what? That's not what God's put the word there for. You're supposed to find it in context and operate it and use it wisely. What Paul said is a truth that is true, that is good, it is transformative. Guess what? It transformed me. That's what Paul said. It transformed me. And not only will it transform me, it can transform others through me. Does that make sense? What Paul said is when the word of God came, it got rid of some things. The Word of God, when it gets in you, Jesus gets in you, the Holy Spirit gets in you, it starts getting rid of some things. All of a sudden, now you're transformed, and it is transformative. What does it do? A man's conscience in the sight of God, commending ourselves to every man. What all of a sudden, the thing that got into your conscience is the way you're living then presses on somebody else's conscience, right? Did you ever see anybody live out their faith in front of you and it brought you to a place where you were convicted? Whew. I can tell you some people. I mean, I can take you down to some people where, man, it was like, wow. They didn't have to say a word to me. I remember watching a guy when I was at the height of my sin. I mean, right before God was saving me, a couple things happened after that. But I remember watching him get in his car and leave playing softball and stuff to go to church. I thought it was insane. I mean, we're running back out in the field to do something. I see him over there packing his stuff. I'm like, where are you going? Got to go to church, man. I got to get there. Man, God's good. I got to get out of here. And I'm like, I'm losing my mind because I can't comprehend. I'm like, there's another game and another game, and you're leaving. I know. I can't stay here, man. This stuff here is just temporary stuff, man. I got to get out there. I got to get to the house of God, man. If I don't hurry, I'm going to be late. My wife's waiting on me. I'm sitting there thinking, God. I mean, I can remember watching him. I was standing in the outfield watching him. He's really going to his car. He's really backing out. He drove all the way down to the stop sign. He turned right. He's not coming back. And I remember sitting there going, my gosh, I need that. I really need that. Now, would I let on like that? Would I was changing anything? Mm-mm-mm. But man, I knew. I didn't have to have a sermon. I didn't have to hear Jesus. I didn't have to see, hey, you need to get saved. I knew because I was raised in church. I'm going, that'll wear you out. Listen, you don't have to do a whole lot in this world to stand out for Christ. All you got to do is make some decisions and let some other people see you making it. And you being transformed, they'll ask, why do you do that? Right? I love this verse 3. Y'all need to look at it. Look at me. Let's put it under a microscope. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Man, put it this way. Let's say it the way it should be said right here. But if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to them that are lost. And the reason you say, why do you mean veiled? Well, because if you'll go back one chapter, maybe you can do this tonight or not too long. Chapter 3 is all about Moses. When he came, he was up there with God for such a long period of time, and he was so close to God, but he represented the law. Golly, I ain't gonna preach that whole message, but when he came down, he glowed. No, literally, it was almost like his body was trying to transform into the new creature that will be in heaven because he was so close to God. But he was also a representation of the law. It's so contradictory because when he came down there, he walked down in amongst the people and he's standing there and they're like, hey man, can you cover that up? Because that's scary. And that's bringing me into conviction. And that's bringing me to a place that I'm kind of worried about you. They weren't worried about him. They were worried about themselves because they didn't shine like he shined. Because they weren't allowed and they weren't in the presence of God. This was all a foreshadowing of when we get Christ, we have that in us. Amen? You see it? And see what it's saying is, listen, people, if you have Christ in you, you are going to shine. And if you shine, they want to veil that. They can't make you cover it up so they can cover themselves up. Are you good? But let me go a step further with this. If you don't shine for Christ, they don't have to put on their veil and they can be around you all the time. It doesn't bother them. Whew. Amen? I want to bother some people. Not in the way of antagonizing them and bothering. I just want them to be able to the point and say, man, you're bringing me into conviction. You're bringing me to a place that I need to do something with Jesus. I wish you'd tone it down just a little bit. I've heard that a few times in my life. I wish you'd just tone it down some. You've kind of gone too far. I laugh at that. So you didn't see me when I was lost, right? I was a fool when I was lost. So I've not gone too far. I can go as far as I want to this way. I'm never going to catch up with who I was over here. Y'all good? Some of y'all do that when you get saved. Oh, I got saved. I can settle down. I'm a mature Christian now. No, what you are is you're lukewarm, right? You've settled so much, right, that all the good has went and compressed, and your shouts and your it's on the wrong end. Let me say it that way. The Bible says stir up. Amen? That's what it says. The Bible says stir up. Amen? Stir up means get some of the good that has settled in the bottom to come to the top. Amen?
There's another message in there. Verse 4. In whom the God... Look at this. Let's go back up. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See that? The devil's working. And he's working on them. And he's trying to keep the light so that they veil themselves to not look at the light that you're shining. And he does a good job at it. He did a good job for me for about 30 years. I don't know how long. If he's worked on you, he's worked on you. You know it. He can keep you from seeing it. But once you see it, any shouters? Do you remember when you seen it? I can remember when I got a glimpse of it. Oh, right? Oh, wait a minute. I remember when I got to look. I was like, wait a minute. But then when God said, it's now or never, right? Now, I know some of y'all didn't get that far with God. It was August 28th. It was my last chance. Not because God ain't graceful and God ain't merciful. He had been ministering to me since I was 8. I knew I was called to preach when I was 8. I didn't receive my calling, didn't accept it until I was 30. Okay? I knew I was supposed to serve God, I mean, from then till that and everywhere in between. And God was just telling me, look, this is it. But I seen it. I seen it. I was like, there ain't no way I'm passing up on this. No way. Right? Once you see it, man, you're like, oh. I guess the world glow, it grows dim when you see Jesus. That's the only way I can explain it. I used to think the world was everything I wanted. Everything that shined, I wanted it. Boy, I want that, I want that, I want that. Man, but once you get Christ, man, the world is just very dull. Very dull, right? And when you really know Him and you're really, really in love with Him, man, something can come along and everybody, look at that. And you're like, no. I'm really satisfied with Jesus. Why would I go begging for the devil's bread again? I know where it's going to lead you. Whew. Look at this right here. Look in verse 5 with me. For we, oh man, this is good. Y'all ready? Look at it. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Man, listen, I'm not talking about faux humbleness. I'm talking about real humbleness. When somebody says, man, you're different. Man, you're good. Ma'am, you're this. Man, I've never seen anybody like you, lady. You say, listen, it ain't me. It's Jesus. I came in contact. He found me, arrested me, saved me. The only good thing about me is Him. Right? That's what you're seeing. What you're seeing is Him. If you were to see me, you'd see failure, sin. Right? But you're seeing the Christ. That's who got in me. Amen? And that's that reveal. Listen, when I first get, I don't know where to use it here or the next verse, but here in this, in the right, and here's the title. It's almost, the light shines through messed up vessels. You know, like we take light, like in here we got these chandeliers. But like I've been in different places, and now how modern restaurants, modern, they'll put a cool lampshade over the light, and it gives a different atmosphere. You can go into a different place, a little bit darker, but you'll say, man, it's a cool light. Or they'll put something around that's really neat. I've seen all kinds of different lampshades, right? One of the different things. But God puts the light in one of the weirdest lampshades. He puts it in us. Right? Go to this next verse with me, and I'll kind of preach it from here. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See what I'm saying? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
And what I'm saying is, God's got this, He's got this light in us. And you're saying you're an earthen vessel, right? And that's what, kind of what I'm saying, is we're earthen vessels. And you think, well, where does the light come out of then? Out of the scars and broken places. Amen? Do you getting that? I didn't know how to kind of conjoin that, but as soon as I read them three or four verses together, I'm saying, man, Christ gave us the ministry of the gospel, but we're only to glorify Jesus because there's nothing good about us. Jesus saved this corrupt man. This man is still, if you got saved, people are going to still say, that's so-and-so. But they're seeing some other light that comes out of you. And where the light came out of is the place that God saved you from. It is the broken place, the place where you finally said, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. God, I repent of the wicked place that you found in me, the blemishes that you found. And that's where God came in and saved. And that's where the light shines out of, not your strengths, your weaknesses. I see the light coming out. Weren't you an addict? Was. Weren't you a liar? Was. Now I got light coming out of that place. See, what I'm saying is, God will take the worst things about you and make them the starting points of your testimony, and the light is shining through that. Amen? Do y'all see it? We've got this treasure in our... Man, every time I read that, that was one of the main reasons I came here tonight, is we got this treasure. Man, I don't know about you. We don't shout enough. We don't praise enough. We don't glorify God enough. We don't. Because when we read some of this, we've heard this stuff so much. I don't care what kind of vessel you got. I do not care what kind of vessel you have tonight. I don't care how. I don't care what the state that your body is in. Is that okay with you? If you're saved, you know what's on the inside? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. A treasure that is hidden on the inside of this earthen vessel. Whew. Man, it almost makes you happy about some back pain or knee pain, heartache. You're upset, not having a good day. The enemy's wore you out. You've wore you out. Some of your friends, some of your family's wore you. Amen? But then there resides the treasure in this earthen vessel. My goodness. Listen, not on your best day, on any day. Man, I don't know. We don't get excited enough about that anymore. We can read a scripture like that and see it, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God put it in there to confound the world and the enemy and everything else. I mean, the enemy's just sitting there. I believe the angels scratched their heads. I believe they're sitting there going, he did what? To save what? And you put part of the Godhead in them? You put eternity in them? This is why one reason I believe so heavily in eternal salvation. I'm not going to get on a long run about it, but this is one reason I believe in eternal salvation. Because do y'all believe that you receive the Holy Spirit in you when you're saved? Do you believe that? Is the Holy Spirit co-equal with God? Do you believe that? Why in the world would God get in you and all of a sudden say, I don't believe in myself? You know what the Holy Spirit does for me? It gets in there and it witnesses God is real. God is good. And we're ready to go somewhere that we've never been. We sing this song, it's called Beulah Land. How come you're so excited to go to a place that you've never been? Because the person inside of you, one part of the Godhead, resides there. He's sitting there going, I'm ready to go home. And you're like, I've never been there before, but me too.
You know why? Because you're a saved person and you're a born again in the Spirit. So your spirit man is now longing to go to the place where the Spirit of God resides because he knows that's where you belong. Why in the world all of a sudden God's going to say, let's just not go. It's not that good. That's insane. What the problem is, you never got saved. That's the real boil down, is you never got what you said you got. Because what I got transformed me, transforms others, and I've never, ever been sorry. Never, ever said, man, I don't want this. More, man, I don't want to go to heaven now. Man, praise God, I'm more longing for heaven now than I ever have been. I've got as much in heaven to go for as I do earth. Man.
Verse 8. These are good. You might want to make some of these your life verses, especially if you've spent any time in the ministry. We are troubled on every side. Let me give you a better than that. We're crushed on the other side. We've got pressure coming from both sides. You ever felt that? Listen to this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, yet not crushed. Goodness. Man, every once in a while, just raise your little hand and go, thank God. I thought I was going to get crushed. I thought I was going to be mashed. I had pressure on both sides. I thought we was going to come to an end. But God somehow, through the pressure, made something better. Whew. Have you ever been under pressure for a period of time that you thought it was going to kill you, but it just made you better? Man, that's what God does. Great things are usually made by pressure. Oh, no. Yes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Man, howdy. The only way I can explain perplexed is you're sitting there going, what? You got that look, you know, squinty-eyed, wrinkled forehead, and you're looking at it going, what? What? I don't know what to do with that. That's upside down and backwards. I don't understand how to deal with that. But not in despair. Perplexed. But knowing, golly, I hope you can get this. I'm not just preaching this to have air pushed through my lungs. Listen. Be perplexed. Have that look on your face. Not know the answer. But down in the spirit go, but God. But God can figure it out. Somebody's sitting there going, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I can't figure it out. And you're thinking these things. You're saying these things. Just sit there and know, you know what? God's a pretty good God. He's good at God. He's good at being God. He can work everything to the good. Amen? I think of this all the time. People say, well, do you know about this? Do you know about that? Do you hear about this? Do you hear about that? Yeah, I heard about it. What are you going to do about it? Pray! I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to wait. And you say, why? Because if they're gods, they don't stand a chance. And if they ain't gods, praise God, I ain't going to do nothing for them either other than pray for them, that God gets a hold of them. Does that make sense to you? I mean, you can be as perplexed as you want. You can sit there and look at it and go, man, I just don't know exactly what to do. Good. That should drive you to prayer. That should drive you to a place of God. God, you got to do it. You know what? God loves that. God absolutely loves that. I remember one of my stepsisters, man, they had gotten to 80%. She ain't going to make it from this hospital to that hospital. She made it over there. But then they can't do this and they can't do that. And then finally they got to the very last. They walked up there and the doctor, he came out there and laid the paper on her hand and said, that is it. We are done. There ain't nothing else we can do. We are perplexed. Within 12 hours, she was sitting up eating. Few more hours later, she's still alive today. I mean, think about that. They came out there with the paperwork and said, we're done. 12 hours later, she's sitting up there. Can you get me out Jell-O? I'm hungry. I mean, it's stuff like that. Amen? It's stuff like that. That you're sitting there scratching your head. God's a good God. He's a big God. He can handle stuff. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Wait. Go back. Look at verse 9 again.
What? If you ever felt like you're all alone? Is there any preachers in here? Anybody that served in ministry? Persecuted, right? But not forsaken. Some people think, man, preachers, y'all got it made. You got all, man, you got it made. Everybody talk. You're all, man, you got everybody. You got tons of people. Praise God. Sometimes preaching feels like the loneliest job in the world. You know when most people come to talk to a preacher? When there ain't nothing left. Hey, man. When they've exhausted everything else and they come and they go, what can you do with this? I don't know. Otherwise, praise God, it's a pretty lonely place sometimes. I ain't trying. I'm just telling you, sometimes you can be persecuted. People say, well, he ain't really this, she ain't really that, they ain't really doing it. Praise God, guess what? You ain't never alone. Whew, goodness gracious. That's a shouter. Not forsaken. Whew. Golly, bum. Hey, when you ever figure that one out, I hope you don't ever have to, but when you ever find out you're really not alone. Because you can get in some really dark places. Amen? Is there anybody in here been alone? Been alone, alone? And all of a sudden God's there. I've been there. Amen? When you thought you lost everything, and you're sitting there going, God, I've lost it all. But he shows, and it's hard to explain. I'm right here. You might have felt like you lost everything, but I ain't lost you. Amen? Persecuted all by yourself, but you ain't. Amen? Whew. There's a message in that. Cast down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can almost say this. Have you ever thought that was it? Have you ever thought that was it, brother? I'm done. Cast down. Everybody, man, you're done. You ain't ever come back from that. Right? But not destroyed. Thank God. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, look at this, but life in you. Man, you go, listen, I brought up Joseph earlier. I started thinking about it on a deeper level. You think about it this way. Everything that happened to Joseph, right, was not about Joseph. Amen? Everything about Joseph was bringing about God's vision that he gave Joseph. You're going to be a conduit that I'm going to work through to feed the promise that I gave to Abraham. Amen? That through his seed and through that lineage, you are my people, and I will keep them alive through something they reject. Amen? It's not always about what you're going through. It's not about you. It's where God can take you through that to save many people alive. Some of you are sitting there going, why am I being persecuted? Why am I going through trials? Why am I going through this? Why do I have... Because people have to see that you still have faith on the other side of trouble. They need to see you go through it and come out the other side and still glorify Jesus. They need to see you get persecuted, cast down, lied on, forsaken, where you can still say, God's good. I still trust Him. I still believe in Him. I still love Him. I'm dying, but I'm dying where you can see Christ. And Joseph is just a foreshadowing of Christ. And everything that happened to Christ is to bring everybody to God. Because guess what? He had to be rejected and forsaken and cast down that we might receive eternal life. It wasn't all about him. It was happening to him where he could save us alive. So guess what? Then we're the New Testament church. We come on the scene. Everything that happens to us is to glorify God that we can save many people alive. We should trust in the fact that no matter what happens to us, if we're here on the earth, it's for your edification. If we die, we're going to heaven. Praise God. Love him in between both of those. I think about this way. All right, I'm up. My foot's on the ground. I must be preaching somewhere. Amen? Because the day that don't happen, you're going to say, well, Kevin died. He's passed away. It's a sad day. Not true. Kevin is retired in glory. Not to preach another message ever. Just to go and look at all the ones that he preached face to face. Amen? That's us, church. That's who we are. We're supposed to be walking, living epistles. We're supposed to be the letter of the church to a lost and dying world. You hear this, you've heard this since you were 6 years old. You're the only Bible some people are going to read. What's your message? What's your message? What are you telling them? What are you showing them? Amen? Let's all stand.